to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, March 20th, 2022, by the Reverend Eric Williams. Well, today's gospel has, you know the old thing, do you want the good news or the bad news first? I've got bad news and bad news. You're all sinners, you need to repent, or Pilate's going to come back from the dead and kill you, or a tower is going to fall on you, or you're a fig tree and the arbor is going to cut you down. Amen. What is going on in this scripture today? We struggle with this. So let's back up a little bit. Why were they coming to Jesus with these terrible stories? This was like today. This was the front page of the Detroit Free Press. Galileans coming to Jerusalem for their temple sacrifices are arrested and executed. Film at 11. And then the next one is, tower collapses, killing 18 people. This was the news of the day. And as always, then and now, people were trying to make sense of it, right? The age-old question, why do bad things happen to ordinary people? We don't know if they were good. That's why I say ordinary people, right? They might have been good, they might have been bad, they might have been worse, but they were just average people. So was it their fault? Did those Galileans deserve what Pilate gave? Did the people who died in that collapse of the tower deserve it? Was it their fault? And Jesus says, you dummies, of course not. These things happen, right? Death comes for us all. Whether we are young, whether we're middle-aged, whether we're old, it's coming for us, like it or not. I mean, spoiler alert, you're going to die. I'm sorry to tell you that. It's going to happen. And the whys and wherefores sometimes don't make sense. Why does someone, you know, die as a child and someone else lives to 100? We don't know. It's not always, John and I were kind of joking about that. We get a list of which clergy have died over the years, and John's like, well, how come it's the good ones? Right? It doesn't seem to make sense. So we too struggle with why these things happen. And then we have the really hard point of this scripture, which the line that really made me struggle this week was, unless you repent, you will die just like they did. What does Jesus mean by that? Unless you repent. Does he mean they were sinners and so are you? You better repent or it's coming for you. I don't think so. I think we need to look deeper into what Jesus meant by the word repent. Because when we think of repent, we think of I am bad and I must make up for it by, you know, putting on a hair shirt, getting out the old chain, beating ourselves up a little bit, or making some act of restitution or some change. We think of repentance in those terms. But that is not at all, or at least not completely, what the Greek word means. In this passage, the word that is translated repent is a wonderful word. It's a word worthy of us meditating on it for a minute. It's the word metanoia, which really means a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction, a change of attitude. It's really a word that's all about inner transformation. Not just, I'm bad, I need to punish myself, but I want to have a kind of conversion experience to God's presence. That's what metanoia means. It's much richer, much deeper than our English word, repent. Metanoia, to turn, to see things in a new way, to change our outlook, to go in a different direction. And I think that's what Jesus is telling his disciples and the people that come to him with this story. Look, death is coming for all of us. What matters is how you are going to live the rest of your life. Are you going to live it wasting your time and frustrated and angry, like dealing with all the stress of the world today? Because we got our own headlines, don't we? And they're just as bad as they were 2,000 years ago. War in Ukraine, inflation, division, anger, fear, it provokes all these feelings in us. It's why Andrew Weil, some years ago, the sort of New Age doctor who was very popular, he would prescribe to his patients, he said, what you really need is a fast from the news. You gotta stop listening to the news. Stop watching 24-hour news channels. Stop consuming all of this fear and anger because it is toxic. It is provoking in you a reaction that is fearful, not loving. It's not good for your health. It's not good for you. Jesus invites his hearers and us, I think, on the same journey. What would it look like to change our attitude about the world? What would it look like? We don't always have a lot of great examples of that. So many examples in the news are of people acting badly, reacting with fear and anger instead of with love and open hearts. Metanoia is the key. Metanoia is what was happening in our Old Testament lesson, the story of Moses. Moses, remember, had been a violent young man. He had encountered an Egyptian beating an Israelite, and he killed the Egyptian, murdered him, and then he had to flee Egypt. He had been a prince of Egypt. He fled into exile, and he lived with Jethro in the land of Midian and was a shepherd, basically, or taking care of the herd. So he's out there with his animals, and he sees a fire. I better go check out the fire. It's a bush. It's burning, but it's not consumed. This is strange. And then a voice says to him, Moses, you are standing on holy ground. Moses encounters the living God, and Moses is invited into metanoia. Moses is invited to change his direction, to leave his flock, and to follow God, and to lead the people of Israel. Now, we were laughing a little bit on Thursday night. We've been doing a class on spiritual gifts, and our Thursday night lesson was six different biblical characters who show different responses to how these gifts work in their lives. And the Moses type, and maybe you resonate with this, the Moses type is the one who always feels overwhelmed, like the person who wants to do it all themselves and then can't keep it up. It's just too overwhelming. The burned out person, they're just overwhelmed with stress. That is Moses, because even in today's lesson, he's already trying to back out. Well, you know, God, I'm not the right guy for this job. There's got to be somebody better. Later on, he says, I don't speak very well, God. I need a better spokesperson. All through his career as the leader of the Israelites, he is whining about something. I need help, God. I can't do this all myself. They're not going to listen. And over again, God gives him what he needs to do his work, all because of the transformation that happened in this moment of metanoia. I believe we desperately need that in our own lives and in the world. We too need a conversion of heart and mind, of vision, to be able to see the living God and to respond instead of with fear and anger, with love and open hearts. And we do have modern examples of this. One of the great modern saints is Thomas Merton, a contemplative in the 20th century. He wrote this in his autobiography about a metanoia moment for him. In Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all these people, that they were mine and I was theirs, that we could not be alien to one another even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness, of self-isolation in a special world. The sense of liberation from an illusory difference was such a relief and such a joy to me that I almost laughed out loud. I have the immense joy of being human, a member of a race in which God himself became incarnate, as if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me now that I realize what we all are. And if only everybody could realize this. But it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. When we encounter the living God, when we experience this metanoia, all of the separateness, the brokenness, all of the fear and anger dissolves. Unfortunately, it's so hard to hang on to that. If you're like me, these moments come as precious little gifts in the midst of ordinary life. Suddenly, the veil is stripped away and we see and are in the presence of God and we get it. It is so real to us. And then we're back in the normal world again. But I pray that these moments of metanoia, which are as available to us every day as they were to Thomas Merton, as they were to Jesus' disciples, as they were to Moses and the patriarchs and the prophets and the saints, this invitation is not an exclusive club, but it is for all of us who are made in the image of God, the God who wants us to see with the eyes of our hearts enlightened. May these moments of metanoia be enough to equip us to follow God, to live lives that are open-hearted, open-minded, generous, and full of love.